I Dream of Indie is bringing a voice to the voiceless ones in gaming. Free yourselves from the shackles of mainstream coverage and help us to defeat the gaming echo chamber once and for all. Head on over to youtube.com/idreamofindie or idreamofindie.com. I Dream of Indie, a place where games are more than a number.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the very first I Dream of Indie podcast. I guess that's kind of a lie because technically I Dream of Indie started as a podcast, but if you are a subscriber to our channel, this will probably be the first podcast of ours you've ever heard because that podcast was not listened to by anyone. Welcome, I'm Silent Signs. I am joined today by Jay and Ashley. Welcome.
Hello, hello. Thank you.
Hi.
So, very glad to have you two on board for this pilot episode, because if it was just me talking to myself, we would not have a show. We are I Dream of Indie. We are an indie exclusive, well, with some niche and double A title YouTube channel where we pretty much cover any indie game that we can get our hands on. We strive to cover as many indie games as humanly possible, given the constraints of our human forms. But even with that in mind, we somehow do more than most humans should. So welcome, everyone. And this is going to be kind of an experimental episode. So I figured we would start with some introductions. Most of you probably know who I am, but I don't think the folks listening will know Jay or Ash too well. So I don't know, do you want to start with Ash being the newest? Tell us a little bit about yourself, how you wound up here on my computer right now.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So my name's Ashley. I'm from the UK. As you can probably tell from my accent, just before we started today, I was talking about my cup of tea, so I'm really archetypal. But yeah, I've been playing games probably since the age of six, and I'm in my late 20s now. Played pretty much everything under the sun. I've got into phases where I've played a lot of platformers, I've played a lot of fighting games, I've got obsessed with like JRPGs for a period of time. So I've kind of gone down the rabbit hole with so many different genres. So I'd say in terms of my favorite style of game, I'm really kind of open to try pretty much everything. Apart from dating sims, for some reason I just can't get into them, and they're not really my vibe. But yeah, it's been something that I've been really passionate about over the years. I kind of talk to my friends quite a lot. I've got a lot of, I think, quite strong and detailed opinions on games myself. You know, I just saw that you guys were looking to kind of hire another person on board, and you know, I just reached out to Old Gamer Joe, and we just kind of got talking, and you know, here I am now. And you know, I've been doing it for a few weeks now, and just a really great community. Everyone's really welcoming, and yeah.
Thank you. We'll pay you for that glowing endorsement later. But yeah, thank you for sharing all of that. It makes you a great fit for this team because we have plenty of folks here who love playing dating sims. It's not me, but there are definitely people who ask for those specifically. So it's great. We have so many different folks who love so many different types of games here. And speaking of our folks, Jay, tell us a little bit about yourself, how you stumbled upon I Dream of Indie, what kind of games you like to play.
Hi, I am Jay. I'm born and raised in Puerto Rico. I got into gaming very early on. My dad was a very avid gamer, and that's one of the things that I inherited from him, only just on like steroids. I like to play basically everything except first person kind of games because I get horrible motion sickness. Doesn't mean that I haven't tried to play them. It just means that it only lasts 20 minutes per session. But yeah, it's funny because I Dream of Indie stumbled upon my videos, I think, and that's Old Gamer Joe reached out and the conversation was started, and it's good. It's great. I've been here for about a month and a half, I think, or 2 months. I don't know. Time is irrelevant at this point. But I've played a little bit of everything. I tend to go towards either the cozy point and click games, And also, I like all things that have to do with scary and horror games and all of that, which is sad because most of them are first person, but we try.
That's a real juxtaposition, right? You've got cozy and you've got really scary. I was not expecting you to say scary.
Yeah, it's both side of the spectrum. It's great.
Fantastic. Well, I guess for those who don't know who I am, I'm Silent Signs. I'm Old Gamer Joe's better half, for those who don't know. I have been playing video games since I was probably 3 years old. And I think I'm older than both of you, so I feel very old right now, but that's okay. I think my first video game was Duck Hunt on the NES. I'd say my favorite types of games to play, weirdly, skateboarding games. I love any skateboarding game I can get my hands on. Skate Bird recently was fantastic for me. Really good fit. I hate farming sims.
Were you into Tony Hawk?
Yeah. I don't know. I had like very few games growing up, but the ones I did have, I was absolutely obsessed with. So it was like Tony Hawk, Tekken, and Donkey Kong Country 1 and 2. I played all of those until they broke. But I love also platformers, skateboarding games, rhythm games, some scary games. Also, if they're not in first person, even though I'll play them anyway, they do make me ill, which is unfortunate. But yeah, this channel has really expanded my horizons as far as what types of games I will play, because I never enjoyed playing card games until I started doing reviews here. And then I was introduced to Inscription and a game called Black Book, which were both really cool card games. So now I can't say that I don't like those. So I've learned that you just never know until you find the right game in that genre. So, like, maybe you don't like dating sims yet, Ash, but...
Yeah, I saw Alan reviewed one on the channel, and I'll be honest with you, I was quite interested in it. I wasn't quite sure. I was like, oh, do I break the mold? Do I give it a go? I think I might do.
That was, I think, Arcade Spirits, The New Challenger, that he covered recently. There's also the Kentucky Fried Chicken dating game.
I've been honestly looking into that one because it looks just funny.
Which, I mean, like, how do you say no to that? It's just so weird.
It's called I Love You, Colonel Sanders, a finger-licking good dating simulator. And it's free. I'm downloading this right now.
I really had lots of crack up.
A lot of indies out there. Half of these come out and I would have never had any idea they even existed. So that's kind of the beauty of what this channel is and what we try and do. Shameless plug. And speaking of shameless plugs, there are some ways you can support the channel if you do enjoy what we do. You can, of course, do the first and foremost thing that you can do for any YouTuber, which is subscribe to their channel. It really helps us to get the word out even more. We, of course, do have memberships here if you want to support us monetarily. Nothing is ever going to be behind a paywall as far as reviews go, but it does help us to, literally every dime we get here goes back into the channel, to be honest with you. We really try and make it the best possible product it can be. Memberships gain you some perks as well, so you get access to our Discord, which is an interesting environment, to say the least. It's super cozy. Everybody is really friendly. It's not like some of the corners of the internet you would expect from gaming. It's definitely a good time. You also get custom emojis. You get movie nights and all of our love, our undying admiration. Of course, we also have some exclusive content that is audio only, like the Gamer Joe Radio Show, where we play some really cool indie game soundtracks and talk about them. We have Genies of Lamp, which is another podcast, but it is just with the ladies of I Dream of Indie. And there's probably a bunch of other things that I'm forgetting, but that's fine.
That's for you to come and discover.
Absolutely. You know, we have Twitter, we have Instagram. We suck at social media, which is, honestly, it's amazing that we've made it this far. But and we have a coffee page if YouTube's not your thing at all, which I've just learned recently. Some folks don't like YouTube. They're like, we want to support you. We just don't want to support you via YouTube, which is, why not? So with all of that shameless promotion out of the way, we do have some news stories to talk about this week. Some of the stuff going on in the indie gaming world. We have Wholesome Direct coming up pretty soon on June 11th. I don't know if either of you have seen Wholesome Direct in the past.
I have not in the past, but I'm very excited to see what they're bringing in this year.
Yeah, so I just stopped by their Twitter because I didn't know where else to go to find out about it. Coming on June 11th, and I saw some of the trailers for the games that they're going to be showcasing there. And Jay, if you are a fan of the cozies.
Yes, I'm putting myself into this list so that I know everything that's coming out. But I'm looking at the teaser trailer right now and everything looks very interesting. So I'm definitely gonna be checking that out.
For sure. Just browsing through the page, one of the games they're showcasing right now is a game called Behind the Frame, which
yes,
is a fantastic title, but it looks like it's coming to consoles, which is very exciting.
I think that one's on...
it's also on Steam right
now.
It's
on offer on Steam at the moment.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, I played the demo of this game and it is spectacular. This is one of the games... It's funny that you mention it because I was right now on my Steam page and this is the game that I was about to buy at the same time as we're speaking right now.
Oh, I'm just reading your mind. Don't worry about it.
Yes, it's literally.
Fine. You'll get used to
it. Because I was looking... I have this huge wish list and I usually buy them when they're on discount. For everyone that wants to get this game, it is right now on Steam on discount. It has a 30% discount, and it's one of the games that has been on my wish list for a while now. They also just released new chapters, mm-hmm. apparently. So yes, this is one game that I was very excited about.
I have a question. Is this going to make me cry?
Yes.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm actually looking at it now in my current wish list as well. So I think we're all on the same page without even realizing.
Yes. God,
you've completely sold that to me. That's going to be £7.20. I'm not getting back after this.
Yeah, but it's worth it. I assure you. It has my stamp of approval.
So wait, you haven't played it yet, Jay?
No, I played the demo and I absolutely loved the demo. And I was, as we were speaking, I was about to hit that add to cart button.
So I have to ask, do the two of you enjoy playing games that make you cry? Do you enjoy being hit in the feels by a game?
That is an interesting question. Did you like to cry? I don't. I like story. And I think I've said this before. I come from a theater background. So I usually go for story. I usually go for something that makes me feel. Not necessarily to make me cry, but... if it's something that has a story that stays with me and that makes me feel things, I usually prefer those games. It's, for me, it's like watching a play, working on a play or a musical. It evokes those same kind of feelings.
Yeah, I wouldn't say personally I go looking for something like that. And I would say when it comes to movies and games, I can be quite a harsh critic with stuff like that. So it does take quite a lot for me to get to that stage. But if something gets to a point where it does move me to that extent, then like, yeah, I definitely want to feel that as well. But very few games have done it. Very few games have done it in the past. I actually can't think of one off the top of my head right now.
Which games have done it for you?
Do you know what? I can't, on the spot, I actually can't think of one.
I can. What about you, Silent Science? Don't worry about it. I'll mention some and then you can let me know. In recent, very fresh in my mind right now, because I'm playing a game within the same universe, Bear's Restaurant made me cry. I love that game very much. And I'm playing Fishing Paradiso right now, which is connected to Bear's Restaurant. It's from the same developers. It's in that same universe. And I'm obsessed with it. Review to follow, but spoiler alert, I really like it. What else? When the Past Was Around, which is a puzzle game.
Oh. When the Past Was Around? Mm-hmm. Here I am, adding more to my list.
get them on that list because I need to look at these. Oh, I've just remembered one.
This is the same people that did Coffee Talk, right? Togi Productions. Oh, interesting. Okay, add it to my wish list. And downloading the demo right now.
So there's a little game that's published by Annapurna called If Found. It's an iOS game. It's very similar to something like Florence. I don't know if you guys have tried Florence.
That sounds familiar.
So If Found is this beautiful, artistic, almost like picture book style game where you have to kind of scrub away the screen to reveal the screen that's underneath. And it tells like a really like poignant story about this person living in Ireland and them kind of being ostracized, making friends. And obviously there's things that happen in the story, and it kind of builds into a bit of a crescendo, I would say. But by the end of that, I was definitely kind of like almost like breathing. I could feel my breathing was changing. I was like, no, please, please be okay. Please be okay. And I just came out of the room after I finished it. And I remember speaking to my partner, and she was like, are you all right? And I'm like, yeah, I'm a bit shaken. I've been hitting the feels, but I mean, like we mentioned, that's one of the best things when you come away from a piece of art and it feels like it genuinely resonates with you. Even if you're in tears, I think that those experiences change us, right?
I love a game that makes me cry personally. I don't know what that says about me as a person, but sometimes it feels good just to like be impacted that emotionally by something. And I love when a game can do that. And especially because like in a game, you're an active participant in whatever's happening. Even if you're just an onlooker in it, you're controlling something in that environment. You're making decisions. You're actively participating in whatever's happening to some capacity. And I think that's why it's so impactful. And that's why I enjoy it so much. Or maybe I'm just like, there's something wrong with me. I don't know. But I love a good cry from a game. I can't help it.
Absolutely. It's nice to feel.
Yeah,
nice to feel. Makes it sound so cold-hearted.
Yes, no, we like people with feelings. That's good.
Wholesome Direct, that is coming up on June 11th. There will be some coverage of that on the channel, I believe. Legend of the Star, our streamer here. I'm sure if you're familiar with this channel, you've seen her streams on Mondays and Fridays, but she also covers some of these really awesome indie events. So that will be something to keep your eye out for. You can always watch the playback if you're in a different time zone, and I don't know what time this will be for you, but it'll be on the channel for you to take a look at. In other news, this Don't Nod, I don't know if you all played the Life is Strange games.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
They had a rebranding, right?
They've rebranded, so.
Yes.
They're still Don't Nod, but it's spelled properly now. Instead of being all one word, they've separated it into two words and added the little apostrophe. Redid their logo. They've teased some new games, which is very exciting. It sounds like they're working on quite a few projects. That studio has grown a ton since Life is Strange, which it makes sense. Those titles are really unique, and I think they kind of set a precedence for that genre of game.
They fill the gap that Telltale had left.
Exactly.
And they kind of moved into that space and kind of expanded on it with
It's like
more grown up themes.
Right. It's, you know, a little bit of the fantasy, but with some very real aspects to these titles, and again, making meaningful choices that impact the outcome of a game. Always a good time. I have a love-hate relationship with the original Life is Strange. Did the two of you play it at all?
I am halfway through.
Did you cry?
No, I haven't cried yet.
Well, then it's garbage.
The only games that have actually made me cry have been Celeste and Spiritfarer.
Oh, God.
Those are the only two that I vividly remember actually crying.
I think you might be a monster if you don't cry to Spiritfarer.
Yes.
Oh.
When I lost my first one, I was like a mess.
I definitely think that in terms of Life is Strange, I think that game resonated with a lot of people the time that it came out. And like I mentioned, I think that there was definitely a barren space, but it also does touch on a lot of a lot of themes that maybe we don't see necessarily a lot in mainstream media at the moment, with like the LGBT side of things, like terminal illness and that kind of thing. And I think that resonated, like the subject matter resonated quite a lot. I'm definitely looking forward to, I know they released some games after that, right? They released the second one with a different kind of character cast.
Are we
think
three now?
Yeah.
Something like that. I gotta look it up before.
Yeah, are they any good?
I think I only played the first two. And I liked them. I didn't love the end of Life is Strange, but I won't go into that because spoilers. But
because I haven't finished it.
Yeah, exactly. clearly people loved it enough to make more of these games. So it could just be a me thing. I don't know. But I remember Joe and I played it back when it came out and we were like, huh?
They also have a game from like a year ago, I think, the Tell Me Why game, which is also free for this month in one of the gaming stores. I can't remember which one, but I saw that the game went free today or yesterday for the whole month of June.
This is very good to know.
Yeah. I'm checking out where it's free right now.
Yeah, you can check that out, and I'll read this lovely quote from Oscar Gilbert, who's the CEO of Don't Nod, and essentially they were saying how Don't Nod, the reason for the name is that they don't nod along to everyone else's tune. So, you know, they go their own way. They don't really play into what's popular or, you know, the way that other developers operate, which I think is what makes them so unique and kind of why they've succeeded with these really unique titles. So I thought that was kind of a nice sentiment. It's also kind of what we're about here. We don't always, you know, play into what's popular or, you know, clickbaity or what's going to get a ton of views. We go to the beat of our own drum, I think.
Okay, so I checked it out. Tell Me Why is free on Xbox and Steam for Pride Month. I also saw it for free in the Epic Store.
That's awesome. Thank you for sharing that.
Yes.
Oh, wow. It's a little nugget there.
Yeah. Super helpful. Speaking of bright spots in the indie gaming community, Bright Gambit. They are a new indie game funding initiative. So they are currently looking to fund, up-and-coming developers with their indie titles. And they have announced their first 5 recipients of funding, which are games called Lonesome Village, Sonya, Credolis, Orton Was the Case, and Grund. Depending on what platform that you are watching this or listening to this on, I'll see if I can share some of these games in the description of wherever this may be. They are also accepting applications for other developers looking for funding, which I think is brilliant because there are so many creative individuals out there that could make amazing games. They just don't have that financial backing. And I would just love to see what comes out of this.
I think it's really interesting to have a specific collective, let's say, that just focuses on indie games. Obviously I'd say a company like Devolver maybe are still technically indie, but they're getting a lot bigger now, and one of my personal favorites, Annapurna. I just love that pretty much everything that they release is a project of a few people, and they've just taken it and run with it. And I think that there should definitely be more publishers out there that are willing to take those risks, because they've really carved out a niche for themselves, and they're the publishers that people go to now if they've got one of those great products projects, and they might actually make it. So having more initiatives like this in that overall pool is only going to be a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely. How many titles, you know, have people thought up that, you know, could have been fantastic? They just didn't have that money to get that project started or to put that project out there. So I think this will be, you know, a huge help to people who just want to get their foot into the industry and, you know, really put their game out for the passion of it, not just for the money, which, I mean, there's so many brilliant indie games out there from solo developers or really tiny teams that we've played here on the channel or even that we've never even seen. And I just can't wait to see what kind of games come out of this, because I'm loving what I see so far. These titles look really interesting.
Yeah, I checked them out and they look very cool. They're all added now to my wish list.
Yeah, so let's see. This is an investment initiative focusing on investing only in games, not looking for equity in your company. In addition, there are no publishing claims. You maintain full creative control, day one revenue share, and all this in a developer-friendly, results-oriented approach. So, yeah, they're just strictly in it for the love of it, it sounds like, which is fantastic.
Yeah. No equity.
Incredible, yeah.
Yeah, no equity is really big. Yeah. That's really big, because that means that the dev doesn't have to worry about the eventual takeover.
Yeah, so,
exactly.
That's exciting.
Yeah. So I thought that was worth sharing. And if there are any indie developers out there listening and you're looking for, you know, a way to get your foot in the door, this might be something to apply to. Their website has applications open now. So do be sure to check that out. Other than that, today I found out that Toby Fox, the creator of Undertale, composed a few tracks for Pokemon Scarlet and Pokemon Violet, which is interesting.
Oh, that's...
I don't know how you two feel about Undertale. I know it's like a love-hate thing. Some people love it, some people hate it.
Well, let's get into that. What do you think of Undertale?
I love it.
Have you tried it, Jay?
Yes, I have tried it, and I really like it. I have it for the PS4.
Yeah, I think that's a win for all three of us then, because I love Undertale.
Fantastic, I do too. But I know I've heard some people play it, and they're like, it didn't live up to my expectations. And here's my take on that. No one asked, but here's my take on that. It's been talked up so much since it came out. There's people who have created entire universes around the concept of Undertale. People have made fan fictions based on Undertale. People have made fan art based on Undertale. There's merch. There's so many things. And people talk about how it's this great game. But then how can something possibly live up to that? Like, if you never experienced it when it first came out and now you're going into it thinking this is going to be the greatest game ever... Mm-hmm. I feel like that's putting a lot of pressure on a game that was really just this small passion project from a developer, you know.
Well, also, like, the context of when you are playing it has a lot to say about that, too. Because, obviously, if I went to go into the game right now after playing so many other games, yes, I do understand feeling underwhelmed about it. So I think the context of when and what other releases were around that game has a lot to do with it.
Yeah, and then there's the fact that all of the cool parts have been spoiled. Like, you already know the kind of twists and turns that the game's going to take and how your decisions impact the outcome. And, you know, when I first played it, I had no idea. I totally went
the same.
Yeah. So I feel like that's why I was like, whoa, this is so cool. But yeah, that was like the coolest part for me. And I think people now are missing out on that.
I'd say if anybody hasn't played Undertale yet and is listening to this, do not look at anything on the internet regarding Undertale. Download it and just play it.
Yeah. Get off of the internet entirely after you download it and live like it's like the 1800s and just play it.
You could maybe play it in like two sittings, so you wouldn't have to worry too much, and just experience that. It is a love. The best way to describe it, it is a love letter to people that play games. There's so many references that even I think the way that the game works mechanically, it's I kept pointing at the screen the whole time, like he's done this. Yeah. Toby has done this. Like, how has he done this? Like, oh, that's so clever. Oh, that's so clever. That's so clever. And yeah, absolute. I think it must be one of the best indie games.
It's definitely one of my. I agree with you. It was just, this one also kind of made me cry. I won't lie to you, but I guess that might just be me. But like, after I learned that, like, you know, you maybe I did things that I shouldn't have done to certain individuals in the game, and I had a choice. I was gutted. As a person who likes to do no harm, I was like, oh my God, I've done harm. Yeah. Like,
and the fact that you could have, like, the one thing maybe we can kind of spoil for people going into the game is that you can finish it without hurting anyone.
I didn't know that going into it. I was like, oh no.
Yeah. And you get a different ending as well based off that. And then you can either go the complete opposite way. And there's so much replayability. Like I say, it's only a few hours long, but there's so many different ways to play it. I almost didn't want to go back and play it a second time because I felt like the first one was my genuine playthrough.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
That was my Undertale experience. I don't want to kind of retread that again, but it feels like one of those games that I'll go back to every couple of years and just, you know, just enjoy it.
Yeah. So it's wild how far we've come from that game's release to now Toby Fox being a part of Pokemon, which is just wild.
Yes.
How far we've come. I do like Pokemon games. I know they're not indie, but I still like them. You know, I don't play them religiously or anything. I've missed out on a fair majority of the Pokemon releases that have come out in recent years, but I think this would be fun to check out.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the last game that came out, was it the Arceus one? I think that actually got quite a lot of positive feedback. I think they did quite
that's
a few things.
That's the one that I'm playing right now.
Yeah, it looks really neat. Are you enjoying it, Jay?
I am enjoying it. I have this love and hate relationship with Pokemon. I never really watched the show. I never really understood the whole craze about it. But I am having like quite a fun time so far with this game. I'm not very far. I only play at half hour for my shows. So I only play in like 30 minute chunks of times every day. And yeah, so far it's very good. So far, I have no complaints.
Have you guys heard of Temtem?
No.
I feel like I've heard that name, but I'm drawing a blank as to what that is.
So Temtem is an indie game that has actually just recently gone into 1.0. I think it's been around for about a year and a half, 2 years. And it's basically a spiritual, I wouldn't say successor, but it's basically a Pokemon clone. But what the devs had decided to do is they decided to just basically look at every single aspect of Pokemon that they didn't like and changed it and added it. So there's like co-op, there's challenges. They've actually switched up the battle system a little bit. So it's a little bit harder because a lot of the Pokemon games you can kind of go through and you can grind and then you just get too powerful and that's it. Whereas they kind of have messed around with that system. Personally, looking at it, the monster designs look pretty good. They don't quite have that punch that the Pokemon has. Like some of them are quite forgettable. But yeah, that's just dropped in 1.0 about a week or so ago, and it was pretty feature rich when they went into early access initially. So that's probably one to look out for if that's up your alley.
That does sound appealing. We've definitely played a few Pokemon clones here on the channel, Nexomon, which there's been a few of those.
Oh, I've heard of that one, Nexomon. Yeah.
There's been a few others. Honestly, the names escape me. They're all just kind of like variations of trying to sound like Pokemon without being Pokemon.
Yes.
But that's fine. You know, do what you got to do to get your game out there. But there's been some good ones, even if you aren't a fan of the original Pokemon games.
I'm just there for the evolutions. I just want to see them all evolve and feel proud of them.
And other news, I popped into my inbox just to see if we had any cool game announcements, and this one kind of stuck out to me because it's another Lovecraft inspired game, which I feel like is becoming one of those buzzwords. Like every game is a Lovecraft inspired game. This game is, I'm going to butcher the pronunciation of it, but it's Aresis, I believe, which is a upcoming title from Dragonus Games, and they released some alpha footage of it. It's a 4-person co-op game. It's on Steam right now. If I know, Jay, you mentioned you are a fan of the scaries.
Yes. This one. But is it first person?
You know, it does look a little first person-y. Unfortunately, so it might be one of those in small doses games for you.
Yes.
But it's what I thought was interesting was it's a party of 4 players that are.
I love that. There's a very cool game out there that is also like a co-op, or there's two that I really like, Lunch Lady and Phasmophobia.
Heard of one and of I those. Think.
What?
I've only heard of one of those, and it's not.
Yeah, those.
What is Lunch Lady?
Lunch Lady is literally you are in a abandoned school of some sorts, and you are literally trying to run away from the lunch lady who is quite literally trying to kill you. and it's co-op. It is current. Let me see. Is it currently on Steam still?
One might argue that the lunch lady at my old school is trying to kill me too because they would give me old food. So,
Yeah, it's 1 to 4 player online co-op survival horror game. And it's like super fun. It's super funny, but it's first person, so I can't play it for a long time. I'm the worst part of the team. But it's like finding page. So the description here is the school final exams are coming up and the best idea you and your friends had was to steal the test answers. Find all 10 pages and don't get caught by the murderous lunch lady.
I can't handle those games where you just have to hide or run away.
Yeah.
Like Slender, I just couldn't do it. Like, I cracked playing Slender. Yeah. Even like, I tried playing Outlast as well when that came out a few years ago. And I didn't really find hiding in lockers that compelling, to be honest with you. But it kind of worked. It kind of worked with Amnesia. That was like the first one that did it.
Played Amnesia, yeah. Okay, so I didn't find Slender on Steam, but there's one that it says planned release TBA, and it's an indie game called Slender Threads, and it looks super fun. And if the devs of that game are listening to this podcast, they should send it over because I really want to get my hands in this.
All right, Jay, well, send me the info on that game. We'll see what we can do.
Yeah. Slender Hands. It's a psychological horror. I love this already. Like, I'm all over this game.
I was going to ask, how do you play your horror games? Because I play my horror games in complete darkness, earphones on. And I think that kind of ruins me a bit when I play them because I have to put them down after an hour or so. Like, I really enjoy it. And the thrill of finishing a horror game, like, satisfies me. But I very rarely enjoy the actual process, you know, actually playing the game. Like, I played Dead Space and I could play Dead Space in like hour long segments. And then I was good. It took me like 2 weeks to finish that game. I played it a bit every night. So how do you guys do it? Because I know some people will play those games with all the lights on, they'd have a podcast on in the background, and I don't think that really counts.
No, it has to be in the dark, preferably alone. I'm still not scared. I do have this weird problem where something about the like ambient music that's in a lot of horror games puts me to sleep. So you'll find me like on the couch.
That's interesting. And
like completely nodded off, trying to beat a horror game. And then like a monster will pop up or something and it'll be like a loud noise and it'll wake me back up. And I'll be like, oh, right. I was supposed to be doing something.
That's so funny. I can imagine you playing the exact same horror game as me and you snoring and I'm just like sweating.
Yeah.
Like terrified. I was going to ask, have you guys heard of Choo Choo Charlie?
I've heard about it.
Is that the one that looks like a disturbing Thomas the Tank Engine?
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Choo-choo Charles. Yes.
Charles. Yeah. So yes. I saw the video for that. I ended up going down a big rabbit hole for Thomas the Tank Engine because there are some really scary episodes of Thomas the Tank Engine. And it looks terrifying. Like, it looks genuinely, Choo Choo Charles looks really scary. And it's kind of blowing up as well. I mean, I think the guy who's making it is doing a devlog for it. And it's got loads of views. Yeah. It's a bit of a sensation at the moment. I definitely want to watch someone else play that.
I definitely want to play that. That sounds hilarious.
It looks incredible.
Yeah, Thomas the Tank Engine itself is kind of very disturbing imagery looking back on it. In general. So, I can only imagine. Another great one that we played a while ago, unfortunately the sequel wasn't as great, but Remothered. I don't know if anyone knows that one.
What is the name?
It's called Remothered. There was a sequel which was not great, but the original was pretty creative. It has some of those familiar horror tropes of, you know, you're in an old mansion, and you know, there's your jump scares and stuff. There are weirdly, like, how do I put this delicately? There are some elderly folks who are unclothed for some reason, which is interesting, something I've yet to experience in any other horror game. But I don't know. That one was something else.
I played a game not too long ago, and I'm trying to find the name of it. But you are a park ranger, and you are trying to guide this person to safety. And like the game is first person, and the only reason I was able to handle it completely is because you are inside of your little office. This game was on itch.io, and you are inside of your little office, and the whole premise of the gameplay is that you are listening to this guy who supposedly encountered some kind of animal or some kind of person or some kind of demon or thing, whatever you want to think that it is. And all of a sudden, this thing is mimicking also the voice of the person you are trying to guide to safety. So you are by yourself in this little office and you're listening to your walkie-talkie, and you have to think about, okay, which one is a real one? And then also you have to think about, do I send them to where I am, or do I send them through another route so that they're safe in the other route? And it has like so many endings. And I'm still trying to find the name of this game because I think it was incredible. Yes, I don't know where this story was going to, but I felt for some reason that I needed to share it.
Oh, that sounds intriguing. You'll have to find the title of that one and let us know.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But lot of Lovecraftian horror out there, but this one is going to add to the list. Aersys, you can check it out. I'll spell it because I'm probably grossly mispronouncing it. It's Eresys. It had some creepy looking creatures in the alpha footage that they have on the Steam page now. I might not be a fan of Lovecraft himself, but he did inspire some cool monsters. So I guess he left us with that, which is great. And that's all the news that's fit to print today, I think, unless anyone had anything to share that I...
Yes, I do. I found the name. The name is awesome. Do You Copy?
Do You Copy? Okay.
Yes.
Copying that down as we speak.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you both for all the recommendations. I have like a whole list of things to check out now.
Yes, me too.
Not like we don't already have enough that we're currently playing.
Yes. You know, it doesn't hurt for that hypothetical time in my life where I don't have anything to play and I'm looking for something. I'll be like, oh. I need to sort it by
genre. The backlog disappears.
Yeah. If I don't separate these games by genre, I'm going to start like losing track of which one was which, and I'll try and settle down into the cozy game and end up playing Do You Copy?
And Do You Copy is only available on itch.io, but it's free. It's a free game on itch.io.
Awesome. Good information. Thank you. So, you know, I have some community poll results from our community post from last week. We usually post one every Thursday. I don't think we've put one up yet today, but that's okay. We wouldn't have the results of it back anyway. Last week, we were asking folks, if a game isn't initially clicking with you, how long will you continue to play it to see if it improves? How do y'all feel about that? How much of a time window do you give a game before you say, okay?
30 minutes. It needs to be, if I'm not amused in the first 30 minutes, I don't understand why I'm playing anymore.
Whoa, that's short.
It's harsh.
That's very short.
Well, also, when you don't have as much time or energy, it really comes down to, okay, is this game is good? Can I put my time into this, or can I just do something else?
That's fair. Ash, what about you? How long do you give a game before you give up on it?
So it really kind of depends on the genre, because I feel like some genres do take longer to get into. Like if I know the game's quite short, then I'll give it like an hour or so, if that's like half the game, right?
Right.
But if it's something that is mechanically a little bit more deep, I mean, a good example, I did the impressions for Cantata a few weeks back, and initially coming to terms with, you know, an RTS and the mechanics of an RTS took me about 2.5 hours to 3 hours just to kind of get my bearings, and then I could enjoy the game, and then I kind of understood the value of it and why it was good at that point. So half an hour, I would have been gone. So I think for me, it really does depend on the genre. I mean, I would typically, it can kind of depend as well if I've paid for the game and if I'm hyped for the game. Like if it's something that I'm not that interested in or someone's kind of just recommended it, I'll be like, yeah, I'll give it a try. But if it's something I've been following, I typically will give it a bit more time.
Yes.
Very true. Once you have that financial investment into something, you want it to be good so badly. Like, not an indie game, but when they remade Crash Team Racing, which is another one of those weird games that I had as a kid and like grew up playing and loved so much. So I was super excited that they were rebooting it or remaking it or whatever the right word is. I don't know. I always pick the wrong one. But it was kind of a disappointment, but I like tried for so many hours to be like, maybe it's good. And I'm just, you know, so used to the old one, but I just couldn't get past it. That was $60. I'll never get back. Which stinks. But I'd say for me, it definitely depends on the genre. But if I'm not enjoying myself within 90 minutes, I'd say an hour to 90 minutes, depending on the title, then I probably won't be enjoying it for the long haul. And that's not to say I haven't had my mind changed after hours of gameplay. But it doesn't happen very often. Usually, by that point, the story's been set out for me. I have a good idea of what the mechanics look like. And if that's not clicking one or the other or both, then it's not a game for me. And I think folks kind of agreed with all of your sentiments, to be honest. There was 212 votes on the poll. The majority of folks said after 2 hours they were done. That was 50% of voters said 2 hours.
Oh, interesting.
And that was it. 13% of people said 3 hours in, 4% said 4+ hours in, and then 27% of people said a game needs to grab me in the first hour. So kind of a mix there. And in the comments, people kind of shared similar sentiments to what you were saying, Ash, as far as it depends what kind of game it is, because we had a comment from Mingo, who wrote, for RPGs, since the genre is a bit more of a slow satisfaction, I'll give it 20 hours at most, but for anything else around 2. So 20 hours feels like a lot.
That is so much further than I wouldn't give... 5 hours maybe for a big JRPG, something like maybe Persona.
Yeah.
Then if I know I'm going to be putting down 120, 130 hours into it, then I'll give it a good try first. 20 hours. That's
commitment.
It is. But if you paid for it and you really want to give it a fair shake, that's
absolutely.
Absolutely, yeah.
I can't tell you how many RPGs I've played where halfway through they've added so many different mechanics that it's a totally different game than when I first started playing it. We had another comment from Lord Metroid, who wrote, this is a difficult question because some games start slow and get better, specifically story-driven ones. Then you have buggy, unplayable games that are not worth playing at all, which... unfortunately, I think we've all experienced at this point. A couple more comments here. We had Aries Aston wrote in, usually more time than the game deserves. I don't mind a slow start, but I'm tired of the it gets good after 20 hours games. Yeah, what is with you folks in 20 hours? I would never...
Also, it's like, do you want me to really keep playing? Or are you trying to not get me to play? Mm-hmm. Why do I have to put 20 hours before it gets good?
That's a huge
Absolutely problem. Not.
That's half of my work week. I could be getting so
exactly.
much. One last comment we had from Master Blaster, who I always want to read this name as Blaster Master because... I don't know. But it... They said, it depends on the genre. Some games are so complex, you don't even fully know the ropes an hour later, so it will probably take a whole bunch of hours to make a determination. Others are so simple, you don't even need half an hour. And then what also comes into it is how much you spend on it and therefore how much you feel motivated to try and make it work. So I think this is really just echoing all of our sentiments from before.
If you have
financial investment, you want it to be good.
Yes.
Most of the time you can tell within that first half an hour to an hour. So that was a lot. how do we all feel?
It feels great. I love this.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
no,
it's nice having a chat.
Very late for you, Ash. So we're going to wrap things up here.
That's
But before we go, I do want to present a question to all of you, since we always used to ask a question on our weekly recaps, which is kind of what this is feeling like, but a little bit more extended and a lot less of me on camera making a fool of myself. But the question part will remain because that was fun. And since this is our first ever pilot episode of the podcast, we want to ask you, what do you think this monstrosity should be called? Do you have a good name for the podcast? I'd love to hear it. I'm out of ideas. I've named too many things on this channel. My brain is mush. So do let us know what you think this podcast should be called. Of course, Jay and Ash, I'd love to hear from you as well. If you have any ideas, do let me know. Well, with that all in mind, thank you both so much for showing up on my computer today and being a part of this. It's been a pleasure speaking with both of you, and look forward to doing this more in the future. And thank you all for listening out there. I appreciate you. Thank you for supporting the channel and making this possible for us. We can't do it without all of you watching and subscribing and listening, or however you support us. We thank you, and we'll see you later.